101.3 WIBD AM 1470. It is 7:15, and we have a guest on the phone for a community conversation this morning. We have Ron Knobb from the Allenton Volunteer Fire Department and also the Badger Firefighters Association. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, sir. Top of the day to you.
Thank you. Thank you for taking some time to give us a call this morning. You know, it's good to get your perspective on things because, you know, as a first responder to things going on, there's some things that I'm sure you are seeing that are important that you want to pass along during this coronavirus pandemic.
Yes. We all live in kind of a very interesting and trying time.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
And, you know, we as first responders in Washington County, most of our departments are volunteer or paid on call. And we do it because we love to help people when they can no longer help themselves. And we all have seen some things that have been challenging that we think for the safety of everybody else, including those that we're observing.
Yeah, well, should we start with gloves?
Yeah, gloves is a good place. One of the things, if you're going to wear gloves, this is something to think about. And when I observed it and I did some research, I kind of said, wow, that's true. So you walk in the store and you're doing your thing, picking up vegetables and fruit and cans and touching countertops, and then you pick up your phone. Or you would do something with the kid that's with you or somebody else, and then you go back to touching the phone and you go back to your shopping. The use of the gloves has just been negated because you now have touched all these things and cross-contaminated them. So if you're going to wear gloves, make sure you only do one thing if you're going in a grocery store. Shop. Don't pick up your phone. Don't touch your son or your daughter in the face or touch somebody else. And if you're going to take them off, there's a good way of doing that, and that is that you grab the outer edge of one and pull it inside out, and you put that in the other gloved hand. Now you take your bare hand and go underneath that glove and roll it inside out over the top of the first glove. Now you're not contaminated. And the most important thing, which I've noticed the last few times that I've been out grocery shopping, is some people decide to leave their gloves in the cart. And to me, all you've done is now given a hazard to the next person that's going to use the cart or to the person from the store that has to go get the carts. So Please put them in. If you don't want to take the time to walk to a garbage receptacle at the store, bring a non-shopping bag along and throw it in that when you get home, dispose of it.
Right. And the other thing you mentioned in there that we're starting to hear about from people is about taking the kids with you to the store. These days, shopping really shouldn't be an outing, according to what a lot of people are saying.
Yes, yeah. And that's a tough one. My wife and I are taking care of we're responsible for a six-year-old grandson. And so, yeah, that's the challenging part of making sure that he doesn't get out in the general public because he's six and he wants to be out and about. But if he's a challenge when you do take him, you know, that he isn't touching everything. And we do have little gloves he puts on. And we actually made some cloth masks that we wear now when we go out shopping.
Yeah. Well, speaking of masks, let's move on to that topic, too, because we seem to be hearing more and more about masks. And there's some difference of opinion as to whether or not you should always be wearing one when you're out. And we won't argue the merits of that. Let's just talk about what you should do if you do. How's that?
Well, sure. If you do wear a mask, it needs to cover your mouth and your face. I've seen people where it covers their mouth, but it doesn't cover, not your face, I'm sorry, your nose and your face, your mouth. Make sure that it's covering both, not just your mouth. I understand it feels a little claustrophobic. You got to get used to that feeling of breathing in that mask. And if you wear glasses, sometimes it likes to push back up and steam them up. But it doesn't do any good if you're only covering your mouth. The other thing that I found pretty interesting is that when I do drive around, is that people wear the mask. They're in the car by themselves and they're wearing a mask. I'm not quite sure who you're not trying to contaminate by wearing the mask on your face when you're in the car by yourself. But
maybe they're on the way to interesting. Maybe they're on the way to knock off a liquor store. Who knows?
That could be. That could be.
You know.
And there is, if you go on the web or you go on the Facebook, there are a number of postings on how to make masks from cotton. It has to be cotton material. Should be 100% cotton. So you got to look for purple cotton or sheets and how to make them, double them up and make them. There's actually a group of sisters that have a nonprofit corporation called the D11SC. If you ever go to the craft shows, they sell the really neat, fancy wreaths at the craft shows, and they take that money that they get at the craft show and use that to benefit other people. And so they've been doing making masks. They took care of the Samaritan nursing staff, not the Samaritan, the Cedar Lake Home nursing staff. They've taken care of probably 10 fire department and rescue squads. And I helped them get the word out to get those people. And they can make them with or without a filter. If you put a section of a filter from a furnace filter and they set it in there so that you've got double and you can pull that paper filter out, put a new one in. Really neat. So I give it's called the D11SC girls, and I appreciate all their efforts they do.
But on
N95 mask, all you're doing is depleting the supply for those that are working 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 hours a day in healthcare facilities from that protection.
Right. You don't need the N95 mask to run to the grocery store.
No. You can do a regular paint filter mask, or you can do the dust ones, or like I said, make some cloth ones, and then when you bring them home, just decontaminate them. You can throw them in a dryer at real high heat for 15 minutes. That'll do it. And I'm actually wondering if the person couldn't take and throw them in the microwave and zap them for 3 minutes. I would think the microwave would kill any germs.
I would think as long as there's no metal on anything that assembles the mask, you'd probably be all right.
Right. Yep.
So.
Yep.
If people have masks or other products that they would like to get out to people who are first responders, who are needing them and so on and so forth, do you have any suggestions on how they should do that, Ron?
Yeah, I would say call your local fire department. Although I have found that we're pretty well staffed and equipped in Washington County, other than people working in senior centers, senior homes. They're probably more so affected by the shortages right now. We have a very good COVID-19 task force in the county that has done a really good job in getting stuff procured and getting information out to the first responders. It's led by Rob Schmidt, our emergency medical director, and Josh Schumann and Kristen from the health department. Those three have really been pretty interactive. Sue Wolf from Frederick Emergency Room, she's the EMS liaison person in West Bend. They've really been very active and gotten a lot of stuff acquired for first responders. But we can always find places to get it involved in if they get a hold of the fire chief. A couple of the other things I'd like to point out is, like I said, clean up these to yourself. Don't leave it in the bathrooms. Now that the weather's warm, one of the good things for your health is open windows. Get some air movement through. Get all the stale air out. That'll help. Clean doorknobs and handles and the cooking preparation services often. You go somewhere, make sure you either, and this is hard to find, hand sanitizer or at least wipes that you can clean your hands before you get in the car, not after. And clean your steering wheel and the door handles, I would say, at least once a day. That's what I've been trying to do.
All right. What about, I've noticed, I listen to the scanner all the time, and so I hear the calls, but some people don't. And our dispatchers now are doing, I think, a very good job trying to find out if someone does need some kind of emergency medical help, whether or not they've had any potential exposure.
Yes, that apparently is one of the policies that came down from that task force. So I haven't been able to talk to the dispatcher, but yeah, I agree with you. I've noticed that they must have a series of questions that they ask the caller, if there's anybody has a temperature, coughing, those types of things, and they're advising the first responders of that, whether or not there's any possible hazards or not. Or if there's somebody who's running a temperature, so it gets the first responders prepared. If you do call, make sure you give that information right away up front to the dispatcher. They are a vital, vital point and probably one of the most unappreciated people in first responders systems, because they're the ones that are talking to the party or one of somebody that's involved with the emergency firsthand. Might be a loved one, and they're trying to get the right information to give to the people that are coming in to help them. And most people don't understand that stress. My daughter did that job for 16 years. That's a very stressful, because they really never know what happens to that patient.
Right, you don't get that closure.
You don't get closure. It's very stressful to them. And so if you know a dispatcher, thank them for it, because they're very vital. They're the important link between you and who's coming to help you.
All right. Anything else you want to pass along, Ron?
Stay safe, stay healthy, stay smart, and use common sense. Just one other sidebar.
Sure.
Where it's spring, the dead vegetation is still up and standing. We're going to have a lot of heavy snows this year to knock it down. And be careful when you're burning outside. The state DNR has pulled all state permits from those high possibility areas, but we are not in that area. The whole southeastern Wisconsin is not in a high potential wildland burning area in the state. But be smart. Don't be burning. Like yesterday, it was fairly windy, and we didn't get any calls that I know of, which was good. I appreciate that. All you're doing is subjecting a whole bunch of people to exposures and taking them away from things that could otherwise be handled to save grass and maybe some trees, but eventually could do houses. So sure. Be smart if you're going to burn outside. Don't get it too big, and try to hold off until we get some green up on the ground.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Ron. Hey, and thank you for all you do, and thank the members of your department. Appreciate. I know how busy you guys are, because I hear it on the scanner, so I know you guys are out and about. So I appreciate it. Thank you much.
The one thing I have noticed, Rick, this is a sidebar. I talked to Bill Rate from Bob's Towing.
Yeah,
their towing is down probably 50-60%. So we are doing pretty good at staying at home.
Yes. Exactly. All right. Thanks, Ron.
All right. Thank you.
Ron Knobb from the Allenton Volunteer Fire Department, also Badger Firefighters Association, community conversation this morning. I want to thank him for taking time out to join us. Some good information there. And some of the stuff you've heard before, but maybe you haven't heard it from somebody who's out there dealing with it on a pretty regular basis.